Welcome back to Through the Word, Psalm 61 today, a song about refuge on our journey through the Word. I have a house full of things, but within that house is a special drawer, and in that drawer is a box filled with precious things. The objects in that box include my class ring, a hair tie my wife gave me, and my first pocket Bible. That box of precious things, and I'm sure you have one too, is the closest thing we can get to understanding what a miktam is. This psalm is called a miktam, and the closest translation we have to it is a precious thing. This psalm goes into David's special box of personal prayers, hymns, and songs that were special to him, meant perhaps for personal worship rather than for you and I to eavesdrop on. Nevertheless, God put it in the Bible for you and I. This is one of the most precious things about David's Psalms, that they were personal. And hopefully after listening today, this one will become personal to you too. Verse 1, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. David is desperate. He's at the end of himself here. He needs help. So he goes to the only one who can always help David when he comes to the end of himself, God. Verse 2, from the ends of the earth I called to you. We don't know this for sure, but it may be that David is on the run again. Is he far away from Jerusalem one more time, outside the security of his palace, exposed, vulnerable? Or perhaps this psalm was written when Absalom chased him away from the throne. We don't know, but one thing is certain. David here is worn out by his enemies. He's tired. And verse 2 says, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my foe. We've all felt faint before, like when we stand up too soon and start to feel lightheaded, as if our knees will buckle and give out from under us, and we'll come crashing down on the ground. But David's heart feels that way. He says, I call as my heart grows faint. David doesn't have much strength left, but with the last bit of what he does have, he puts it into a prayer, a final plea, a song. Verse 3, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. This isn't new. David has needed God before, and God has rescued him in the past. And that gives David a confidence he will do it again. God's come through for David when he was young and on the run. And if he was there then, he must be here now. And wherever here is for David, it definitely seems very far away from a place of safety, from the ends of the earth, the edge of the world, far away from his secure fortress. David is asking God to be that fortress and security once again. David longs to be back in the house of God, the tent of meeting, and in verse 4, he talks about it. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. David wants to go deeper than just his fortress walls. He wants to go into the Holy of Holies itself. He wants to dwell in the tent or tabernacle of God forever, where the Ark of the Covenant is, being so close to God, that place where God's testimony of keeping his promises is memorialized. And on top of that ark were two golden carved cherubim who spread their wings protectively over the ark. And within that ark, that box, well, there were three items symbolizing God's faithfulness. One, the tablet with the commandments on them. Two, the jar of manna. And three, the staff that blossomed in Aaron's hand. The staff represented God's protection, the manna was God's provision, and the tablet, well, that was God's promise. Protection, provision, promise. David says, that's where I want to live, God. I want my permanent address to be there. Ironic, when he's forced to leave his home, but he just wants to be where God is, no matter where home is at this moment. And he can be, even out here in the wilderness, But it's not just God who keeps his covenant. In verse 5, David says, "I've kept my end of it, Lord. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." David has done all he can. He's been faithfully worshiping God. David has kept his vows, and God's heard it. David's done all he can. He's kept his end of the bargain. Now, he needs that heritage that God promised. Protection, promise, provision. And this bolsters David's faith that God keeps his covenant, as he prays in verse 6. "Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations." But who is the king David's praying about? Is he praying for himself to be on the throne for many generations? He probably doesn't have that long at this point. Or is he looking to one of God's promises, a special covenant that God made with David about another king, one who would sit on his throne forever? Do you remember the story? David, worshiping God, tells him, "I want to build you a house, God." And God responds, "David, I don't need you to build me a house. Let me build yours. I will establish your throne, and on that throne, you shall have a king forever." And David in that moment knew God wasn't talking about his great-grandchildren. God was talking about the Messiah. What a promise! Perhaps as David's on the run, he's no longer thinking about himself. He's been thinking about the Messiah. And this helps us remember that David knows it's not about him. It's about his covenant to his people. Verse 7, "May he be enthroned in God's presence forever." This would certainly be what David wanted for himself, to be in God's presence forever. This part could be about himself, but David seems to be shifting. And Psalm 61 becomes another psalm where the poetic becomes prophetic. "Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him." That word there for love is the Hebrew word chesed, which means covenant faithfulness. It is God's commitment to love his people, commitment to them. It implies faithfulness, which is why David says it here. Covenant love and faithfulness to protect him. Verse 8, "Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day." David, out in the wilderness, banks everything on God keeping his promise. Even when in the moment he has nothing to hold on to, he's a refugee. He has nothing tangible to cling to. Can you and I trust God like that? Looking back on the promise of God, he's able to say, "You were my refuge, my rock higher than me." David has turned us to that rock higher than us, and that rock is Christ, our refuge, the one we can put all of our trust in and fix our eyes upon, just like David did. He's as dependable as a rock, and he always keeps his covenant. My friend, you may have nothing going in your way in the tangible, but like David, if you have God's covenant love and commitment to you, and you can be confident in Christ as your king, then you may not have anything in the tangible, true, but you have everything in the invisible.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.